Brethren, let's turn to John 19. John 19, verse 7. The Jews answered him, speaking to Pilate. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee, Caiaphas, hath the greater sin." Let's go to the Lord before we begin. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, that you have provided us your word, that you teach us in spirit and in truth. And we ask, Lord, that you do that for us now. In Christ's name, amen. Now, Pilate heard the Pharisees say that the Lord Jesus Christ had said that he is the Son of God. And when Pilate heard that, he was the more afraid. He already was fearful of who this was. He was fearful that he was sinless, or at least not guilty. But now he hears that he has said he's the Son of God, and he's the more afraid. He's the more afraid. And so when the Pilate asked the Lord Jesus, "Whence art thou? Where are you from?" Our Lord Jesus gave him no answer. He gave him no answer. We read in Matthew 27:12, when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. And then when Pilate began to be bolder, and he said to the Lord, "Don't you know I have power to execute you, or I have power to deliver you?" Then the Lord answered. He'd answered. And he said, "You could have no power at all except it were given you from above." Now, I want to just look at these two answers. The Lord answered, how he answered. One time he answered in silence. Another time he answered. And let's look at these two. First of all, our Lord could have easily vindicated himself. He could have answered when Pilate said, "Whence art thou?" He could have answered that he's the Son of God. And what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane would have happened then. Remember, they came to arrest him, and he said, "I am." And they fell backwards. He could have done that here. He could have spoken and revealed himself to be the Son of God and vindicated himself, justified himself of all these charges, and they would have fallen down, and he could have walked out of there without a single person touching him. But he came to glorify the Father. He came to declare God just. He came to manifest the righteousness of God. He came to save his people from our sins. He would not do anything to save himself from going to the cross. He would not do that. He would not do anything but depend upon the Father in perfect faith. And that's what we see here in him not answering. He cannot answer. He's got to save his people from our sins. He has to depend upon the Father perfectly. And he would not answer. He's not going to deliver himself from the cross. He's not going to justify himself. His silence declares that he's holy. His silence declares that he's faithful, that he's obedient from the heart toward the Father. And it declares his faithfulness and his love for his people. He would not speak. He would not vindicate himself. Because if he does that, he's going to deliver himself and his people will perish. And God the Father's name would be blemished, and he wouldn't do it. Our Lord was silent because he would offer his soul an offering unto the Lord on Calvary's cross. He must go to the cross. He must lay down his life for his people. That's first reason he was silent. He would honor the Father. He would save his people. Therefore, he would not vindicate himself. And then another thing is, we see in our Lord not answering Pilate that he is perfect wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. And he would not answer. And listen to this. Proverbs 17:27 says that he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ here gave no words because he's wisdom, and he knows what he's doing was determined before the world was made. He knows what he's doing is going to mean the salvation of his people. And so he, in his wisdom, answered not. He is wisdom. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it's by that knowledge, Isaiah 53 said, it's by his knowledge that my righteous servant shall justify many. We see an aspect of that knowledge right here in that he didn't open his mouth to Pilate because he must go to the cross. He must justify many. And by his knowledge, he's not telling Pilate who he is. Now, as we look at him not answering Pilate in defense of himself, he's not defending himself, we see an example of how that while he bore all the sins of his people on the cross, that God might be just to pour out justice on him in place of his people, we see here that in his heart he was holy and he was faithful to God. He committed his cause to God in perfect faith. He committed it to him perfectly, trusting the Father to do as the Father had promised in his covenant. He bore the spots of his people. He bore the sins of his people in his body on the tree. He hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But though he bore the sin of his people so that God was just, this is the whole purpose, was to manifest the righteousness of God. And it would not be just to condemn him until the sin of his people had been laid on him. And so, though he bore that sin, and though he was justly the wrath of God fell upon him in perfect justice, in his heart he was perfectly faithful to the Father and perfectly faithful to his people in love. By not opening his mouth. By not opening his mouth. That's what we see. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:22, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's an example he's left for us, Peter said. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was smitten on the face, when he was had the hair of his beard plucked out, when they spit in his face, when they mocked him and reviled him, he did not revile again. That means not even a thought in his heart of reviling against them. Not even a thought in his heart. That's the righteousness it takes to come to God. That's the righteousness God requires of his people. No sin whatsoever. Not just in the things that are easy to do, or easier to do, but even in something like where you're being punched in the face and mocked and spit upon, even then to have no sin whatsoever, just perfect holiness in heart, perfect righteousness in thought and in deed. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Here's what he did. He committed it to him. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed himself to the Lord. I read this to you the other day, but I want to read a little further. Let's actually go look at it. Isaiah 50. I want you to see here why he said this. We see here his perfect faithfulness right here. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. He said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Why did he do this? Here's the perfect faith by which he saved his people right here. For the Lord God will help me. That was his confidence. The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I won't be ashamed. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. See, he didn't have to justify himself because he knew the Father was near who would justify him. When he had finished putting away the sin of his people, when he had finished declaring God just and justifier, God would justify him. God would raise him and manifest to this world he is the holy, righteous Savior of his people. He's near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Who is it that can even contend with me? He said, let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that should condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Now here's the practical application right here in verse 10 and 11. This is what he gives to you and me. This is the application. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Who here believes the Lord Jesus? You obeyed the voice of the Lord. You believed on him, the servant of God, and yet you're in darkness and you don't have any light. Believers come there sometime. We get in that place sometime, just in a place like where our Lord was right there when these men were condemning him and accusing him, and he didn't answer. Here's what he says. If you're in that place, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That's what our Lord Jesus was doing. He was trusting the Father, committing it to the Father, and staying upon God the Father. He says to us, now you do that. You do that. When you hear this word preached, try your best. You'll only do this by the Spirit of God. You'll only do it by the power of God. But set your mind on this right here. Stay on the Lord. And by that I mean, when you hear this word preached, hear the word as Christ speaking to you personally. It's not a question of who's the preacher talking to, or what's he saying, or here's the question: is what's being preached true according to the Scriptures? If it is, hear it as the Lord speaking to you personally. Stay upon him, commit it to him. That's the message here. When Christ is our wisdom, when he's our righteousness, go with me over to Romans 8. We just read that there in Isaiah. Go to Romans 8 and look here. When he's your righteousness, and he's your wisdom, and he's your sanctification and your redemption, he's all your confidence, you can say what our Redeemer said. You can say, the Lord God will help me. He's near that justifieth me. Who is he that shall condemn me? You can say that. Listen, this is what the Spirit of God said of his people through Paul. The Spirit of God had Paul write this to teach you and me. And look how much it is just like what our Lord said. Look here, Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see how closely that is to Isaiah 50? You see, the Lord's going to put his Spirit in his people. He had this Spirit to not answer. He had this Spirit to commit it to the Lord. And he's going to put that spirit in you. Now, don't think by that. I know that we sit here and hear this and you think, I've reviled back. I have too. Now, follow Christ's example and don't do it. But know this, that he is the one that justifies his people. You can hold your peace. You can be silent. Sometimes it's not wise to speak. It's wise to be silent and commit it to the Lord. And you can do that. You can do that. And he's near that justifies his people. Our Lord is risen. He's interceding for his people. Stay upon him and trust him. Now let's go back to our text, John 19, and let's see the second way our Lord answered. By not answering Pilate, our Lord declared that he trusted the Father rather than men. He trusted the Father rather than men. But now when his Father's glory was taken, he answered. When his Father's glory was taken, he answered. Now listen here, verse 10. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? And Jesus answered. Now he answers. And he says, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Pilate is boasting here about his power over Christ. Now think about that. Here is an earthly governor boasting of his power over the living God. He's boasting of his power over God who created Pilate. Pilate's saying, I can crucify you or I can let you go. He's saying, I can be on your side or I can be against you, so you better answer me. And I believe Pilate, being a politician he was, he went out to try to appease the Jews, and when he saw he wasn't going to appease them, he's probably thinking, well, maybe this man's got something to offer me. I'll be for him if he's going to give me something. But the Lord answered him this time. He wouldn't defend himself when he was accused. He wouldn't vindicate himself. But when it came to his Father's glory, he answered. He answered. He said, Pilate, you couldn't have any power over me at all except it were given you from above. You couldn't have any power. Our Lord Jesus Christ was about to go to the cross. He was about to bear our sin. He was about to bear our curse. And therefore, he could not and he would not open his mouth to defend himself. He wouldn't answer Pilate to justify himself. But when a natural, sinful man began to make his boast, to take God's seat and to take God's authority to himself and boast in his will and his ability, the Lord answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Both his silence and his answer, the answer of silence and the answer of what he says here, this is our Lord's faith. This is him perfectly faithful to the Father, working by perfect love for God and his brethren. He knew that God the Father willed everything that was taking place here. That's how come he could not answer and be silent and trust the Father. He knew the Father, all this was of his power. Nobody could be doing anything to him except the Father gave him the power to do it. He knew this was of his Father. That will put a great amount of peace on you in your heart and take the burden off you. If you remember whatever you're suffering in this world, if you're facing opposition, it couldn't be except by the power of God. Couldn't be. That's why the psalmist said, and it's our Lord speaking in Psalm 118:8, and he said, it's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, there's a lot of folks here who, if a governor of the major empire in the world came to you and said, I've got power to release you or I've got power to condemn you, there's a lot of people that would bow to that. A natural man would bow to that. He would try in every way he could to get on Pilate's good side so Pilate would release him. But that was a direct attack on God's sovereign character. And our Lord would not be silent there. He answered him and he said, you could have no power but from above. You realize, brethren, I want you to think about this power given from above. Our birth, our first birth, is by God's decree, according to God's purpose. Our being his servants is by God's decree. If God has called you, it's because he purposed it from the foundation of the world and he brought it to pass. If he sends us to speak his word, it's of God. He's the power that's going to put the word in the heart. He's the power that's going to send you forth to speak it. And he's the power that will bless it. Whether he saves somebody with it or whether he condemns somebody, it will be by his power. Listen up. Go to Jeremiah 1 and we'll see this. And I want you to listen to what our Lord says here. And I want you to see a picture of Christ in Jeremiah. And this is so you can put your place here in Jeremiah. This is so of all his people, his preachers, his people who are his witnesses. But also see Christ in it. Jeremiah 1:5, this is what the Lord said. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. That is a good spirit to have. That's the spirit you're going to have if you're going to speak for God. I'm a child. I have no sufficiency. But the Lord said to me, Say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I've put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. And everything that applies entirely to our Lord, that's so of our Lord Jesus in every regard as the servant of God. He is God, but he came down and took the form of a servant, and God ordained it all before he was formed in the belly. And he was sent to pull down nations and to lift up, and he did it by his word. He is the word. But this is true of you too, brethren. This is true of you too. That's the power from above, that everything's been decreed and purposed with God. Who we were born to, where we were born, when we were born, it was by God's almighty decree. It's by his appointment. It's by his will. It's not by our will. And that's so in the new birth. That's so when he sends the gospel to you and gives you life, he did things that God had ordained from eternity. Whatever we have, whatever we don't have, is by God's power from above. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. This is what our Lord's teaching us all along. It's not going to be by our strength that we're going to prevail. It's by his power. It's the power of God. We couldn't do anything except it were given us from above. And nobody else can do anything except it's given them from above. This thing's of God's power. Whatever knowledge we have, whatever ability we have, whatever talents we have, all are of God's grace. The Lord gave it. We wouldn't have it except it were given thee from above. Paul said, Who maketh thee to differ from another? What do you have that was not given to you from above? He said, Now if you received it, why boast as if you didn't receive it? That's what Pilate was doing. Pilate was saying, Don't you know I have the power? He's boasting as if he didn't receive it. Spiritual knowledge is given us by God's power from above. If we know God, if you have any spiritual understanding of who God is, that he's the everlasting Father, that Christ is the Prince of Peace, the salvation of his people, if you know this, it's because God gave it to you from above. Christ said on one occasion, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. He's talking about the things of the kingdom. He's talking about spiritual understanding. God hid them from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. This is the power of our God. Job had a lot. He had a lot. And then God took it from him. Even his health. Even his health. And Job believed everything was given him from above, and he believed everything was taken from him from above. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return, the Lord gave. And then when he lost everything, including his health, he said, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when our Lord came into this suffering and he came into this rejection of men, he's facing the cross, and he knew all of it was given to him of God. All of it. He said, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. You know, the Apostle Paul, if you go sometime and you read in 2 Corinthians, and you read of all those things the Apostle Paul suffered. I mean, beaten with stripes, hungry, maligned, his character maligned, shipwrecked, just over and over and over and over. Why did the Lord, well, first of all, who gave him that? The Lord did. The Lord did. Men were used, and men did what they did by wicked hands, but the Lord gave it to him, and he knew that. And it was for a purpose. You know why? Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. He had been given an abundance of revelations. And Paul said, and lest I be exalted, because the revelation God gave to me, God gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said it again, lest I be exalted, lest I become puffed up, lest this knowledge puff me up and I think I'm somebody when God gave it to me. And he said, so God gave me the thorn. God gave me the infirmity. He gave me the weakness. He gave me the trial. He gave me the stripes. He gave that to me to keep me humble at his feet. Everything you face in this world, brethren, wouldn't it just shine light on it? Wouldn't it just sanctify it in our hearts if we could just remember it's of God? God gave it. God gave it. The best thing for you and me to do, knowing that, is to fall in the dust. It's to at every occasion, whatever it is to fall in the dust at Christ and to cast all our care into his hand. Lord, I'm in your hands. Teach me, Lord. Preserve me by your power. Don't let me sin against you. Don't let me bring reproach on your name. Strengthen me by your power. Teach me by your grace, Lord. Keep me looking to Christ. Keep me as a child dependent upon my Father. Now, here's what I want us to get from this. Trust the faithful one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit it all to him, because our Lord Jesus Christ is he who judges righteously. Just like he committed it to the Father, you commit it all to him. We oppressed and we afflicted him. We poured contempt upon Christ. We poured contempt on every office. We've seen it right here in John 18 and 19. His kingly office, they crowned him with thorns. We did this. This is the sin we are. We crowned him with thorns. We put a purple robe on him. We bowed the knee and mocked him and said, hail, King of the Jews. That was a derision of his kingly office. His prophetical office, we blindfolded him and said, prophesy unto us. Who hit you? His priestly office, we reviled him and said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. No true words ever been spoken. He couldn't save himself if he gonna save his people. And yet, when it came to revealing who he is so as to vindicate himself, so as to deliver himself from suffering, our Lord Jesus Christ answered Pilate nothing. He must save his people from our sin. Why'd he do that? Because he's the one who fulfilled the law and the prophets. And it was said of him, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. This was 800 years before it came to pass. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But when it came to Pilate stealing the glory of his Father, boasting of his power, the Lord Jesus said, Pilate, don't boast. You couldn't have any power at all except it were given you from above. And you know what his last cry was? He answered nothing. Then he answered. And you know what his very last answer to this world was? It is finished. It is finished. He accomplished the salvation of his people. He justified his people. You that he's called to him, you're complete in him. You're righteous in him. You're justified in him. So that you can say at all times, in all seasons, in every situation, whether you've sinned and he's teaching you something through the black backdrop of your sin, or whether you've done something that is right and you're being condemned for that. Whichever the case, you commit it to him, because this is what you can know in your heart. He is near that justifieth you. He will justify you. If you've sinned, he's already justified you from your sin. He's going to teach you. He's going to teach you to put that away and press on toward him. And if you've done something in his name that's righteous and for his cause and you condemn, he will justify you in that. All power is his. You've been made to return to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. The word shepherd means the pastor. Bishop means pastor. He's our pastor. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls, and he has all power in heaven and in earth. All power in heaven and earth. So, with these things in mind, knowing he is the God-man mediator, our mediator, knowing he's our substitute, let us be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I wish I could give it about 5 seconds at least before I ever answer anybody. I wish I could count to five before I say a word. And so fast, aren't we just quick to just, like we got to give an answer. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And while this is so, also commit all to him. Know that he's judging righteously for his people. Psalm 37:5 says this, commit thy way unto the Lord. If there's nobody here that's ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, commit your way to the Lord. Right now, trust him, believe him to save you eternally. And anybody that's suffering any trouble or anybody that's worried and anxious about the cares of this world and how you're going to pay the bills or somebody's up against you, whatever, commit thy way unto the Lord. Listen now, trust also in him. Don't just commit it to him and then go about trying to figure out how you get out of it. Commit it to him and trust him. Commit it to him and believe him. What's my promise if I do that? And he shall bring it to pass. You can do it one of two ways. He's going to bring it to pass. You can do it committing it to him and trusting him, or you can do it rebelling against him. He's bringing it to pass either way. So commit it to him and trust him. Commit it to him and trust him. Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All right, brethren, let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for this word. What a wonderful example you've given us to follow in our Lord Jesus. Lord, we are poor followers. Thank you that you continue to manifest your power to keep us and show us that you are near to justify us and keep us. Keep us remembering this, Father, that we might know when to answer and when not to answer, and know how to answer and how not to answer. And in everything, Lord, we ask you to keep us stayed upon our Lord Jesus. Keep us committing it all to him. Keep us trusting him. Lord, we're proud by nature. We ask you to humble us. We ask you to make us willing to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, to cast it all into your hand and trust you and know that you care for your people. Lord, you've wrought our salvation. You've wrought salvation for your people, accomplishing eternal redemption for your people. Make us trust you for that. And Lord, make us trust you every step of the way through this wilderness. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We ask it in our dear Redeemer. For his sake, by the power of his blood, we have so many sins to be forgiven. We know you've forgiven them. We know you remember them no more, but you've asked us, you've told us to ask you. And we ask you, Lord, we confess our sin to you. We ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And do it for the sake of our advocate, our propitiation, Christ Jesus. It's in his name we ask it. Amen.